money. Hey, Lonnie, this is Mike. Are you there? Lonnie? Doggone it. Well, this is Blog Talk Radio. It's Drive Through HR, and this is Mike Vandervoort, and we're having a glitch with Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is Lonnie Butcher, but we're not connected yet. So let me see if I can get him on the line. Lonnie?
Hey, Mike, I'm here.
Hey, sorry about that. I've been trying to get connected in for about 5 minutes, and we had some connection problems. It's been going on for for a few weeks here, and so I apologize for the confusion. I know you've been hanging on the line. Let me do the reset, Lonnie, and we'll get going, okay?
Yeah, sounds great.
This is Mike Vandervoort. I'm hosting Drive Through HR today. Our guest is Lonnie Butcher. Lonnie is from the University of Central Florida, and this is actually part two of a pair of shows we're doing where we're talking about the approach that the University of Central Florida uses in student advising and how and helping students in their career advancement as they graduate out of the School of Business at UCF. So, Lonnie, thanks for coming on, and once again, sorry for the rough start, but it's good to have you on the show. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Why don't you go ahead and get, since we didn't get a chance to do any kind of pre-chat, why don't you go ahead and give us your bio, your title, what you do at UCF, and then we'll jump into some conversation, all right?
Sure, sounds great. Right now, I am currently the director of the Office of Professional Development, which is our sort of rebranded advising office, undergraduate advising office here in the College of Business at UCF. My full title is gigantic. I actually need two cards to keep it. It's Director of Professional Development and Placement. And I got to this title through a career in human resources, which is actually how you and I met. I've got about 15 years of experience in HR, as well as some other things. Back in 2000, around 2000, I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to teach HR here at the College of Business at UCF, and did that for about 5 years. Really enjoyed it, but around 2005, I had to go back into HR and work for a while, which was great until 2008 when I had to lay off about half my team, and then I got laid off and was out of work for a while. But that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because after being out of work for a little while, I got the opportunity to work, because of my HR background, got the opportunity to work as a director of career services at a school here in Florida that teaches motorcycle mechanics. Motorcycle and marine mechanics, and my job was to help the mechanics do the things that they needed to do to look for a job after school. And I got the job because I had hired mechanics and stuff in a previous position. And I have to say, it was the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. I got to use my experience in education as well as my experience in HR to really be a part of helping launch these students into their career. And after doing that for a while, an opportunity came back here in the College of Business about 3.5 years ago. And I was able to come back to UCF doing the same thing, helping our students with their career preparedness and stuff, and bring some of the things that I had learned at that last position here. That was great. And then probably about 3 years ago, we got a new dean, and he came in and said, I want you to help us prepare our students for their career search. And we sat down and probably hashed things out for an hour or so, and he said, all that stuff you were saying? I said, yeah. He said, go do that. And so I've been lucky enough to basically have the support of a dean who, you know, took these crazy ideas about completely changing the way that we do advising and wanting to incorporate it, and that's what got me here where I am today. I've got the best job in the world, man. I love this more than anything else I've ever done in my career.
It's always awesome when you can say that, Lonnie. It's you know, and you know. you know, it may change. I know it's just, it's a treat when you have a job that, you know, kind of lets you bring together your experience and your background and some of the hard knocks and some of the good stuff, because I think that's what really makes a good HR practitioner are those mm-hmm. people who are able to incorporate stuff like you with doing layoffs and being laid off yourself, you know, and bring it, and then finding a new path and bringing it all together.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah, man, it got so bad. My last name's Lonnie Butcher. I had become Lonnie the Butcher. It was awful.
It's not funny to do layoffs. I know I've done hundreds and possibly thousands of layoffs, you know, because we've had, if you have to close down a big, well, it's thousands because we closed the facility with over 1,900 employees while in one of my jobs. So, I mean, it clearly, you know, when you do that, I mean, it's part of the job, but it's like, I think it may be the very toughest thing to do in HR. At least from a personal relationship kind of thing, or because most of the time it's, and those closures and layoffs, it's nobody's fault, right? It's business. And,
right.
You know, firing right. somebody who's committed, you know, that, anyway, but that's not what we're here to talk about. We could get into an HR discussion, but that's not what we're here to talk about. So we had one of your staff members, one of your career advisors on, Kelly Bogey, yesterday, and she did a great job, also very passionate about what you guys do at UCF and what Dean Jarley has
Jarley,
kind of,
Paul Jarley.
Jarley, that's mm-hmm. right. And I was very intrigued because, I mean, you and I had talked ahead of the, you know, a couple weeks ago as we were getting the show set up, but just kind of hearing the stuff. Are you aware of any other major universities that are taking the same tack that you guys are here, or do you think this is kind of a leading edge sort of thing?
I think we're actually doing something that not anybody that I know of is doing, and the reason for that is that when in colleges of business, I know yesterday on the show you and Kelly were talking about back in the day you would go to the career services office, and we still have that. We still have career services, and what we look at our office is doing is our job is to produce a better product for career services. We're not here to replace them. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of times colleges will do when they start thinking about career development and helping their students, is they'll go, oh, well, we'll just replicate what our campus career services departments are doing. And in my mind, you know, I worked in business for a while, and I worked for companies that had shared services centers, and it never really made a whole lot of sense to me for a company to have a shared services center that, say, processed their payroll, but then also at every location had people that processed payroll. I mean, that kind of negates the purpose of the shared services center. So what we decided we were going to do is bring in professionals with HR and recruiting backgrounds who understood the mechanics of finding a job and being prepared for your career search and doing the things you need to do, and having them work with our students to prepare them so that when they went to a career fair that Career Services was putting on, or they were going to do on-campus interviews with an employer that Career Services was going to bring on, or they were going to attend an info session that Career Services was going to organize, that our students would be better prepared and would stand out to that employer looking like they really know what they're looking to do. They have an idea of what they want to do in their career, and they're prepared to talk about that. That's really what the goal of this operation is to make a better product for those services.
So when you say product, you really mean your students or your human capital,
right?
The human capital that you're hoping to mold and frame. And I don't really love that term, human capital. I mean, they're people, right? And they're students now, and they're somebody's future employees. But you're trying to help them build their skills. And as I understood from Kelly yesterday, you've built a mandatory curriculum, right, with four components that you're actually responsible. You personally are responsible for teaching that curriculum at UCF as part of the college.
I guess it's
part of the program, right?
Right. We incorporated four career classes into our curriculum last year, and students will take one class in their first semester of their junior year, one in the second semester of their junior year, one in the first semester of their senior year, one in the second semester of their senior year. And to understand why it's organized that way, our college here at UCF we get probably 70% of our students in the college are transfer students who've earned their AA at one of our Direct Connect or other state college partners. So they're probably 70% of our students aren't even UCF students until they get to our college. So we get them right at the very end, and a lot of times they're brand new to our college and everything. And the reason that we spread it out over time like that is, quite honestly, you know, we could do a 3-hour class, a 3-credit class, real early that they take and they're done with. But as Dean Jarley likes to say, you know, you don't think about getting a job on Tuesday, right? It's part of the entire reason that you're here. It's part of your entire experience while you're here. And so we want people to be engrossed in it. And so the way that we built the class, they start off thinking about what it is they're going to do in a career. And then we work on building the skills, and it actually kind of follows what they should be doing during the 2 years that they're here in order to have a job when they get out at graduation. So, matter of fact, I even built into the final class this year, I added that if a student, I call it the hey, I got a job final exam waiver, and if a student can produce an email, a job offer, or an offer of promotion, or maybe the licensure that they're going to start their own business, then I will automatically give them 100 on the final exam in the last class.
You've got an incentive comp program set up for your seniors. Ronnie, Kelly talked a little bit yesterday about UCF, I'm going to ask you kind of the same question, but I think you're probably spinning it a little differently. And I know you listened in, but, you know, so the big schools that are known in Florida, right, are University of Florida, Florida State, and to some extent Miami, because of football, you know, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, right? Everybody goes to mm-hmm. the Gators, everybody goes to the Noles. But UCF right. is the biggest school in the state of Florida, and I think Kelly said second largest university in the United States. Is that correct?
That's yeah. correct. We are second largest in the nation, 60,000 students. And our College of Business has an undergraduate enrollment of 8,000, which makes us bigger than you know, a lot of colleges that are out there as well, entire schools that are out there.
And your main campus is in Orlando, but you have satellite campuses all over the state of Florida, right?
Correct. We've got 11 regional campuses that are set up throughout Central Florida. And of those, four or five of them, I believe, have a program that we call Direct Connect, that if you earn an AA at one of those Direct Connect schools, you're guaranteed admission to the University of Central Florida. And so it's a pathway program to get into UCF through the state college system.
So are your students in the business college? Are your students kind of like the traditional, you know, I guess what would be millennial undergraduate? Mm-hmm. Or are these a mishmash, you know, with some returning and...
Man, I tell you what, I have learned more about our undergraduate students in the 3 years I've been here. It's funny, a lot of them of the age, that millennial age, yes, but what I found out is that they really aren't traditional, what I would consider traditional students. Most of them work. Almost all of them work, actually, in some form or fashion. Some work as much as 30 to 35, 40 hours a week. We do have a lot of non-traditional students that are working full-time, professionals that are coming to school part-time. But we also have a large base of entrepreneurial students that are here. We have a very strong entrepreneurship program, so we have a lot that are here to do the things that they need to do in order to start their own business. So that was actually a real challenge in building these classes, is that not all of our students are in the traditional mold that they're here and then they're going to look for their entry-level job when they get out. A lot of them are leveraging the part-time job that they have and would like to go full-time with that company. A lot of them are in a position and they are trying to use they're going to leverage their degree for career advancement. And then a lot of them are looking to start their own business. So I really had to be flexible in how I set the classes up to meet the needs of all three of those different groups.
Okay, so how does that? Well, let me do the reset. It's 1:15.
Yeah.
This is Mike Vandervoort, and our guest today is Lonnie Butcher. Lonnie and I have known each other through the state of Florida for several years. Through our volunteer work with the HR Florida State CHIRM chapter. And Lonnie is with the University of Central Florida College of Business, and he runs the – I'll let you give your title again in a second, Lonnie, but mm-hmm. runs the placement and advising program for students there, and they're doing some very innovative work, and that's what we're discussing. So Lonnie, give us that two-card title. You know, you could use front and back, I guess.
Yeah, I'm the Director of Professional Development and Placement, and it gives the people that really know me well to hear that the word professionalism is in my title gives them no limit of laughter and joking at my expense.
Got it. So what I was going to ask is how does that you know sort of mosh pit of students that you have, you know, from different you know, sort of different aspects of the workforce, you know, raw students, entrepreneurial students, returning students. How does that fit into your academic program that you offer? Do you have to offer, you know, certain different components, or how do you spin that, you know, since you have such a diverse?
It's a great question, man. What we did, it was funny. It came to me one day when I realized that we were asking that for years and years, we've been asking the wrong question. You know, when I was a kid, they would ask me, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what that does is that prompts you to give a job title. And what I've learned is that the key to it, and it applies to anyone that's in any of those groups, is if you ask people, what do you want to do? If you ask them about the verbs, if you ask them about the actions that they want to, the things that they want to do, the activities that they want to take, that is a question that applies to anyone, whether they're a traditional student that is going to school full-time, doesn't work at all the way up to the working professional who's looking to, you know, advance their career or if they want to start their own business. So if we ask the question, if we base the classes around that question rather than what do you want to be, it makes all the difference. So students do a lot of work in order to identify the tasks and the activities that they do well. So, for example, if a student says, well, you know, I really like working with people and communicating with them, and what really gives me a lot of joy is to help a person identify a problem and solve that problem. And I go, that's great. You could be a salesperson. You could be an HR professional. You could be, you know, a counselor. You can pick any number of things. And really, the reason that we were able to come to this is based on, you know, the group that we have here. Again, they're all HR professionals. They've all done job descriptions. They understand duties and responsibilities, and that's how they evaluate candidates based on the activities that person's potentially going to do. So, about a year ago, we made that change, and it made all the difference in the world in the way that we approach career development.
Interesting. And yesterday, Kelly and I talked a little bit about how, you know, Dean Jarley, you kind of moved away from traditional advising, you know, like, you know, I want to be an accountant, so you should take, you know, tax. And, you know, and you started talking much more emphasis on future career development, which I find fascinating. But as I was thinking about it a little bit last night, how do those students still get the traditional counseling, or is that still about the advisory about their classwork? Is that still part of your program, or?
Yeah, well, we did two things, honestly. We simplified some of our curriculum. Our curriculum had when a business curriculum gets so complex that you need to employ degreed professionals to explain it to people, then that might be a sign that your curriculum is a little too complex. So we have a standardized core that all students take, regardless of their program, and then after that, their curriculum is fairly lockstepped. You know, you will take these. So we work to really simplify that, and it still requires some manipulation. The other thing that we have is we employ what we call our advising team, and these are student peer advisors who actually are students in the college. So they have scheduled classes. They understand our curriculum. They, you know, they have way more knowledge of it because they're doing it every day. And we employ them to work with students as peers to help them with some of the curriculum questions they have. We still have crazy things come up every now and then. But for the most part, we can handle most of the advising duties that way.
Okay. And has the faculty itself, had to kind of shift it and absorb some of that role as well? Or is that...
Yep.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, our departments have taken on the role of handling petitions and some other things like that, and they've stepped up and have helped us out with that regard as well. Honestly, you look at it and you think, well, the curriculum in, for example, the finance department really is the responsibility of the finance faculty. So
Yep. They're
the ones that are involved in it, and it gets them involved in their own in their own curriculum. If you have to answer a petition too many times about the same question over and over again, then it kind of makes you think, hey, well, why do we have that rule? So that was actually a good move as well.
Okay, so you guys have spent under Dean Jarley, you guys have spent a couple years really transforming and streamlining stuff, mm-hmm. and it sounds like you've taken it in a really interesting direction. We kind of got started with this conversation, four or five weeks ago back. You reached out mm-hmm. to me on LinkedIn, and, we're talking about, you guys were doing some social media stuff, but you wanted to mm-hmm. kick around some ideas, and you and I had worked together, as I said, at HR Florida. So we started talking, and, this it kind of led to this. So you guys, Kelly talked about the Twitter chat yesterday, and I guess she mm-hmm. kind of did, but I suppose you have other staff members who help. But you're the top dog. So what you kind of disclaim knowing much about social media. I think you might be a little more than you let on. But can you talk a bit about, like, from a managerial point of view, or from your leadership position, how has that worked out, and how do you measure that and report, report successes back to the dean? I guess mm-hmm. just help us delve into the Twitter chat and the other stuff you're doing from a social media perspective with this new that you have in place.
Yeah, our big challenge, because we're so large, our biggest challenge was summed up in engagement. In order to manage the large number of students that we had in classes, in order to manage that, we had developed systems and structures that essentially allowed students to be unengaged. And, I don't know about you, but Anonymous was never voted Employee of the Month. So we've worked really hard to re-engage students with the things that are going on in the college, and social media is one of those is one of those avenues. Our dean is a big Twitter user. Kelly, of course, who was on yesterday, is a big Twitter user. I'm not much of a Twitterer. I don't know. I have trouble putting my thoughts into 140 characters. We basically, the way that we measure that is we look at are we starting a conversation with someone. So if Kelly's Twitter chats are employers simply sending out sound bites in a case, then we would look at that and say, well, there's not a lot of back and forth conversation. But if we can look at something and we can measure where there's student interaction, where students are giving feedback, then that's a good thing. Through the classes, I push students to participate in these activities. We have required activity components in there. They have to earn points by participating in activities. One of our students actually summed it up pretty good. She said she was talking to a student at an event and said, why are you here? And he said, well, Lonnie made me go. And she goes, oh, well, are you glad you came? And he said, yeah. And she said, well, would you come on your own next time? And he said, yeah, I think I would. So if we can have stories like that, that's what we consider a win. So we're looking at the number of the number of attendees, are students showing up, how many of them are showing up, are they prepared when they show up, and then we go back and we ask employers, because this is really dependent on employer participation, what are the employers telling us about their participation? Are they professional? Are the students following up? Are the employers getting out of it what they want to get out of the interactions?
Have you done a Twitter chat, or is it always Kelly? Have you ever run one yourself? Or
I have unfortunately had to rely on Kelly for all of that, so I think my time will come. I'm going to have to step up to the plate eventually. Yeah, she actually came in with the idea. She had used Twitter chats at a previous employer, and said, hey, I think we ought to do this. And I said, I think that's a phenomenal idea. I said, but you do realize my rule is that if you come up with the idea, you own it, you got to go do it. And so she went and did it and did a great job. Unfortunately, now I've got to go follow up and see if I'm going to be able to do it as well as she did. But it's just a great innovative way for our students to be engaged in a conversation with employers, with the people that want to help them out. And it's just, you know, again, it's another venue, whether it's the Twitter chats or participation in LinkedIn or, you know, a face-to-face networking event. If our students are talking to the people in the suits that are there to hire them and help them, it's a good thing.
Right. We're down to, and I agree, Twitter chats, you know, it takes a while to build them up. And the cool thing, I think, for you guys is you have sort of an inherent community that you can draw on. And, you know, and then you also, you know, in your students, right, they have some self-interest. And then you can use your connection with that group to create contact to potential employers and stuff like that. And so it gives you, whereas if somebody's just trying to start Twitter chat about, I don't know, you know, UCF, the school, mm-hmm. or, UCF, the intramural programs or something. I mean, it might work, but there you guys have sort of that connectivity of mutual interest of trying to find talent and talent
yeah.
trying to find jobs, and I think that's pretty
right.
cool. I'm going to do one of those, I guess, with you guys in a couple of weeks, and that was kind of the point after we talked about social media, how we might do this. We thought it would be cool to try a couple different mediums, you know, give you guys a chance
mm-hmm.
to come on here and do these shows. And you know, create some content that way, and then you know, I'm gonna, on behalf of Drive-Thru, I'm gonna jump on a couple weeks and do a chat with Kelly. So, and I'm not really sure what I'm gonna contribute to that, but it'll be interesting to be involved with it. I've done Twitter chats, you know, with Sherm and other times, and they're fun. They're hectic, they're fast paced, and they're a little bit of a hassle. But you never know what you're gonna get into. Sometimes it's really cool. So
yeah.
I think it. Commendable that you guys are willing to embrace it. Kelly also told me about a couple of the, I guess, like you had a fashion show to show students how to, a partnership with Kohl's, showing students how to dress for success.
Yeah.
Mania.
That was great. The fashion show was awesome. Kohl's actually stepped up, and they offered for our students submitted videos saying why they needed a new suit of clothes. And we picked our finalists through there, and then Kohl's actually went through it with us, and they picked they helped us pick a winner, and that winner got a new suit of clothes, a professional outfit. Yeah, it was really great, and you know they've got a great internship program, so that was kind of their hook for wanting to participate with it. But they were just a great partner with it, and it's active. You know, the students got into it, they had a blast. We had almost 100 people there. You know, we want to build events that draw students in. Again, it's about that engagement and getting them excited. And you know, when you're excited and you're having fun and you're doing something that's enjoyable, then you know, go figure, you may learn something.
And not only that, it gives. We're down to like 90 seconds. It also gives the employers, right, a chance to let the students see their brand and see how they come across. You know, albeit in a promotional event, so it's going to be best face forward, but they still get a chance to interact and stuff. I thought it was really great. Is that kind of as we head into the last minute, I'm gonna wrap you up here in just a second. Is that kind of the student advising and placement of the day now in the 21st? Where you gotta get, you know, not just advice, but bring them into the world as well.
Yeah, you've got to put them both in the same room, shake them up, and make great things happen, man.
Awesome. Listen, Lonnie, we didn't give your Twitter handle. Tell people where they can find you if they want to follow up and talk to you about this. We're down to our last 40 seconds.
Yep.
All right.
Best way to find me is look on the College of Business website, bus.ucf.edu. Go to the Office of Professional Development, and you'll see my big smiling face there. Or you can email me at Lonnie, Lonny.butcher@ucf.edu. Would love to hear from you.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show, and I look forward to the Twitter chat. And I really appreciate you guys coming on the last couple of days and sharing your creative approach. Have a great afternoon, Lonnie.
Thank you, man. You take care.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.